But hey ho, look, it's 1 week to go till Christmas. Where's the children? Has anybody else excited, really? 1 week till. It means that we don't have to worry about getting up early in the morning, which is great news, isn't it? It's always something to have to get up early for. So, you know, and for me, you know, the best bit, you know, is the getting ready. I don't know about you, but I just find, you know, that it's really exciting. You know, the bit that comes to Christmas, and you get to Christmas Day, and then, of course, it's, oh, it's here now. It's just kind of, it doesn't literally go flat, but you think, that's it, really. There's that real sense of expectation about what's going to happen, you know, and getting ready. And then, like I say, and I'm just suppose I'm thinking back to when I was a child, really, but there was an air of magic about Christmas. I don't know if anybody else sort of feels the same way, really. Certainly, or they can think back to being a child, really. You know, this year it's going to be a Monday, and I know Monday can sometimes be a little bit of a drag, really, but it won't seem like an ordinary Monday. There'll still be something really, it'll almost be like you can forget what kind of day it is, really. There's just that sense of difference about it. And I can remember going out with my mum and dad, because we used to live along Broadcroft Crescent, and we always used to, every Christmas Day, go up on top of the wreck where my auntie and uncle lived, and people would always be, good morning, you know, and you've got kids on whatever, and everybody got new toys and stuff. And there was really something really different about it. It was like everything stopped, if you like, for one day. And of course, the reality is that bad things still happen on Christmas Day. Could I have my PowerPoint, please? I meant to say that, actually. Silly me. My first one. Here we go. A light in the darkness. But I can remember hearing, as a child, hearing the news on Christmas Day and hearing that people had been killed. My first one, I would have been about 6 years old at this time. Worst hotel fire in history kills 163 in a hotel in Seoul. And it was kind of a little bit of a shock to me that actually things happen. It's a bit like a shock, you know, that you realise that teachers don't actually live in the cupboard at school, you know, so that they do have a life outside. You know, when you've gone up the street and you've seen a teacher and you think, so, what are you doing out of school? And it was that sense, same sort of sense of, hang on, people don't die on Christmas Day, do they? We've got the next one. Cyclone Tracy virtually destroys Darwin in Australia in 1974. Go on for the next one. Who's this man? The unmistakable Charlie Chaplin. Does anybody know when he died? 1977 on Christmas Day. The next one. There you go. So I remember doing my paper round. I was obviously a little bit older by then. And I remember someone saying, cool, fancy dying on Christmas Day. Of all the days you could die on, why die on that day? And of course, you know, it's still a sense of excitement, but for some, there's still that misery. And I haven't got a slide on this one, but just thinking, you know, just off the top of my head, I think it was a year or so ago when they had severe floods and a bridge got washed away. I can't remember. Yeah, like I say, I haven't got a slide of it or anything like that. But just because, you know, it happens and then the media sort of like, you know, if it's media circus, as they call it, goes away, it doesn't mean to say that the problems still stop. For instance, this year, I think my next slide. This is Orient Bay on the French Caribbean island of St. Martin. You know, that destruction is not going to go away very quickly. I can't imagine for 1 minute that everything is all going to be fine as it is, you know, that it's all okay now. Because Christmas Day has come and it's that time, the magic time of year, where everything's fine. And of course we know it's not. Sadly, life goes on. And just because the devastation caused by Hurricane Harvey, Irma and Maria, isn't in the news, doesn't mean the problems that communities face has gone away. I've got a film I want to show you. It's about 4 minutes long, and I think it's quite an evocative piece of music that's by Casting Crowns to this to O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And my colleague very kindly put some images together. None of the photographs taken by us. There's no local photographs, not even my little granddaughter, By the way, that's why I was so excited, because I was actually going to see my granddaughter properly, to, you know, in that earlier film. But anyway, we digress. But, you know, just hearing this, you know, there's a couple of little baby pictures on there, which really, really kind of, you know, moving. But just hear, just look, and just visualize. Just hear the music, and then there's that scripture verse at the end. There's a real sense of longing for something different. When we look at that scripture verse in there in Isaiah, it's an incredible verse there, really. And may I go to my PowerPoint? Back to my PowerPoint. Because Advent, the period of time when we're in, it's essentially, for me, it speaks of a message of hope. And I think it does, you know, that is the official line. You know, it really is a message of hope, a sense of looking forward, and that sense of, you know, of expectation. And when the prophet announces, you know, in Isaiah, you know, that a light has come, a light is coming. You know, there is that sense of expectation. And of course, it builds right to the end of the verse where it speaks about this Messiah that was going to come, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, you know, Prince of Peace. There's something that's coming. There's something much better than what we're actually in at the moment. And there's a real sense of moving forward. I'll go on to the next one. I'll just run through this because, yeah, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled himself by Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Next one is, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness, and they were walking in darkness. And doesn't it sound familiar? They're still walking in darkness. Have seen a great light on those living in the land of the deep darkness. A light has dawned. Go to the next one. It's essentially a message of hope in the face of deep darkness and despair. We'll go to the next one. Great. Oh, but if you could imagine, if I was able to point on the top there, right to the very top, you've got the land of Naphtali and the land of Zebulun, which was being attacked by this chap. I need to read his name, actually, but the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser III, who had attacked them in 734, 732. That's what Isaiah's talking about. So they had suffered terribly. It had been a really bad time. And so, you know, there was this prophecy, this announcement that it's not going to be like that, that something better is coming. A light is coming, and of course, that has its incredible fulfillment in the Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel a little bit later on. This prophecy is a real prophecy of hope during much darkness and despair. Do you know what? I can't imagine living a life without Christ in it. Let me say that again. I just can't imagine living a life without Christ in it. I was speaking to a friend who's going through a really worrying time. In fact, it's possibly him and his wife's last Christmas together. And he's not been a Christian very long, probably a few years. He's in his late 60s. And he's saying, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have Christ in my life. And my colleague Anne, when her husband died a few years ago, I don't know what other people do without Christ in their lives. And yet so many choose not to have Christ in their lives. There's so much darkness. There's so much despair. I recently went to a boxing match. Not really a normal thing that, you know, people would expect me to go to or anything like that. By the way, I went to a boxing match when I'd first become a Christian. And I was actually taking photographs, and it was on the way to a boxing match that I really felt the first time I was actually filled with the Holy Spirit. So God can come along at any point, any time, and really, you know, kind of zap you. It was in love, but I could tell you, pinpoint it where it was as I was going along, and a real sense of God at work. I knew that God was God, you know, that the Holy Spirit was really alive and that Jesus really had died for me. I was on my way to a boxing match. Anyway, I was at this boxing match. I was talking to this lady, and they were raising money for us just recently. And this lady said to me, she says, you know, because I'd done a little talk in the interval, and they said to me, this lady said to me, says, you helped my brother, didn't you? And I says, oh, did I? He says, yeah, he died. I knew instantly who they were talking about, and we've had about a dozen of our clients die. So surprised they don't actually look at our food boxes, actually. But I mean, you know, all that aside, but I mean, seriously, you know, so many people have died through drug overdose, through other real sadness. And I knew this chap who they were referring to. And she cried and she gave me a hug and she said to me, she says, just thank you for what you did and thank you for remembering who he was. She said he'd got nothing in his life. He'd got absolutely nothing. He got involved with the wrong crowd. He'd got no hope, nothing to live for in that sense. And yet, I just can't imagine what it must be like to live without Christ. We went to a home visit. We went just this week, Joe and myself. And we saw inside this house. I mean, this is in Haverhill, folks. Real despair. A real sense of hopelessness. Just a man there who's younger than me, who looks probably 20 years older than me, and he sits there shaking and just really worried about what's going to happen. And there's debt, and do you know, even if we fix his debt, which we probably would be able to do, he's still got that sense of hopelessness. Can you imagine living in that sense of hopelessness? Now, for some, like I say, this is just one or two that I've just mentioned. And there are many, sadly, there are many people out there. And maybe that's why they run programs like EastEnders. You know, people can actually relate to it and think, oh, my situation isn't quite as bad. But that's not good news, is it? Well, the good news is the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is essentially the time of year which we live. It is the announcement of when Jesus came and became a man. He came amongst us. Now, Jesus actually came amongst us. And I was reading just last week, because my son and daughter-in-law had they had to wait in hospital for 9 days, you know, which, you know, I mean, being a dad, you know, or the granddad, you know, I'm just saying to him that in the big scheme of things, you know, it's not really an awful lot, you know, but they're so down about still being in hospital and wanting to get out. And I had to read last Sunday at church, just they were giving out bits of paper of what was on there, you know, in the carols like what you're doing, nativity, anyway. And I was just reading there, I was just reading about Joseph on his way up. I think it's from Luke's gospel. He's on his way up, and he's got to register in Bethlehem. You know the verse. And I don't know which version it was from. It's probably a message or a different version. But it says, you know, he had to, there was no room for them in the inn, and he had to put his baby in the food box or something like that, where animals were fed. And I just suddenly kind of dawned on me, this is the King of Kings, folks. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came so vulnerable for us. Absolutely incredible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that everything is always good. It's not always going to be good, but he walks with us and carries us through our darkest time. He will never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He promises to be with us, even in our darkest hours. He has never let us down. And I say that, I was talking to someone this week, just saying, you know, because they were really worried about, anxious about, but what's going to happen? I just don't know what's going to happen in the day. And I said, has God ever let you down in the past? She said, no. I said, well, why is he going to start letting you down now? It's something that I say to myself when I'm at my darkest times, and I sometimes think, has God ever, ever let me down in the past? No. Why is he going to start now? Let's briefly wind on to the picture that Isaiah paints of the messianic age to come. Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. And by magic, here it is. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, on us, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's it. Sorry. Right. And, this is the ministry of Christ as announced in Luke's gospel. As his hands and feet, we continue this ministry to the community around us. That light of Christ is the light within us. And the light shines in the darkness. Darkness cannot comprehend it. It can't deal with it in the slightest. Light a candle in a dark room and it lights up. The darkness cannot comprehend. It can't deal with light. And we are that light of Christ going into other people's darkness. And so I'd encourage us to be light in people's darkness, because there are many. There's probably people in your street who are living in darkness, who've got despair. And sometimes you don't even know that there's that little bit of darkness, there's that hole in their hearts that only Christ can fill, that light of Christ. That light has come into the world at this time of year, that light that we celebrate right now. Advent is an incredible story of hope, where we look forward to a time to come. I just want to play a last little, it's literally 2 minutes long, and then we'll finish.